You know, last week the message should have left us with the understanding that you and I are created what? Masterpieces. Now hear that again. You should have realized that you are a masterpiece. Now, I'm not saying that sarcastically. Oh, you're a real masterpiece, all right? I'm saying you and I are created as masterpieces. And I had that picture of some artwork and that type of a thing. Talked a little bit about, if you ever watched the Antique Road Show, pictures that need to be cleaned or restored or those types of things that are very, very valuable. They're masterpieces, but they need to be taken care of. That's who we are. We're masterpieces created in the image of God, and we are to be developed into the shining masterpiece, like that masterpiece that is cleaned up, that masterpiece that is its little chips in the paint are filled in right, where the stains are removed and so forth. And so we're in our series of messages entitled Masterpiece in Progress, and today's message is on display, to be on display. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I am so thankful, dear Holy Spirit, that it is you who speaks to our hearts. It is you that reveals truth to our hearts. It is by you that, and only you, that we can even hear truth. I know, Father, that for those that don't know you as their Savior, that spiritual truth can't be comprehended. That the only thing that you can reveal to them is that you are at the door of their heart, knocking on it and asking them to open the door and to invite you into their lives, that they might repent of their way of life and that they would commit their lives to a new way of life in you. And I pray, Father, please, that whether it be salvation or whether it be just us as your children being yielded to you and your masterful handiwork in our lives, letting you shape us and make us and clean us and do the things that you want to do to show off or to put us on display for your glory, I pray that you would do that. And Father, as we look at that concept in this message, I pray that each one will walk away today having received something from you that will cause them to praise you and to thank you and to be fed spiritually. And pray your honor this, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I was saying before, masterpieces they need restoration. They can need professional cleaning. Sometimes you'll see a painting that is a masterpiece that's very old, but it's almost like it's painted in a dark shadow. But in reality, that it's covered with soot or dirt or smoke or whatever the case that has coated it. Years ago, this is really gross, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Years ago, I used to do, when Kathy and I were on mission work, I used to do carpet cleaning on the side as just to bring a little bit of extra income because we were doing mission work around the country and we lived off about $600 a month for everything. And so I went into this one lady's house who asked me to come over and to shampoo her carpet. I walked in and said, oh, the carpet's a brown carpet. That's good. You know, because white carpets, I've done those, and they're kind of tougher. And so I'm shampooing with my little Electrolux, you know, and going around and shampooing. And as I'm shampooing and putting it on and then pulling it off, and as I'm going space by space, I notice that the carpet's not brown. It's olive green. That's how dirty it was. And that's kind of how, you know, it was a good quality carpet, but it was coated and look, right? But that's what happens is that we're the masterpiece that's been created by God as human beings. We're the crowning work of God's handiwork in creation. But because of sin, because of lifestyles, because of us not following Christ, whether saved or not saved, those portraits, those pictures, if you will, of masterpiece work of God becomes tainted, becomes darkened. It's not really being revealed in the way that God intends for that picture to be revealed. And that applies to you and I. That God intends for you and I as masterpieces, and again, not sarcastically, a real piece of work. I'm talking about truly, you and I are masterpieces. Because God made us, and we're incredible as human beings, our bodies are just incredible as far as how they function and everything. And so God wants to and sees us as he intends for us to be. We don't see ourselves that way. He wants to show us off and put us on display. When those pieces of artwork are cleaned up and restored, they are put on display. They're like, look at this piece. Man, I had that. My grandparents had that in their attic for 20 years. Never knew it was worth that, but got it all cleaned up. And look at it. It's on display. And that's what God is saying about you and I. He wants to put us on display. For what reason? Because he's proud of us. He sees you and I as that masterpiece, and he's proud of his workmanship, his handiwork in creating us in his image and for his purpose. So God sees us as he intends us to be and continues to develop us into that completed masterpiece. So keep the picture right that we're created as a masterpiece from day one. And whether you're saved or not, that masterpiece can become tainted with darkness and dirt. And God wants to remove the dirt. By salvation, we receive Christ and our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And by Christians following God, we keep the painting from being tainted and we allow God to develop it into its complete purpose. Now, you're saying, well, the picture's already made. You just said that you're created as a masterpiece, so it's already done. It just got dirty. Well, here's the thing. God has a plan to make the masterpiece look better than it did than when he created it. Figure that one. And we're going to look at that here this morning. So when we think about last week's message, we could view ourselves simply as pieces of art, real artwork that God created. But we are not inanimate objects of art, are we? God sees us beautiful. We see ourselves in our own perspective. But God sees each one of us as his beautiful children that he made. And he knows that we are not inanimate objects of art. We're not that picture in of itself like the one I had up last week. We are that masterpiece that he made, and he wants to develop us into what he sees we can be. So, beauty of the masterful artwork of God is in us in the way that we're living. Okay? The beauty of the masterful work of God in us is that we're living, having been created in his image. You hear that? The beautiful aspect of the masterpiece of God in our lives is when we're living as he intended for us to live, as we were created for him. We are created in his image, but the question now is, are we living as God created us to live? I know I'm redundant here, but it's important that we get this. Just picture the similarities. We're born. God knew us in our mother's womb before we were, at the point that we were conceived, there was a name to that conception. Your name, my name. And we were people. Okay? But in that, when we were born, he says, there's the masterpiece. There's what was created. Okay? And so we see that there. But the intention is that that masterpiece is used, illuminated, glorified, and displayed his way. And that can only be by you and I living in the path, in the journey, in the way that God intends for us to live. I want us to watch this video just for a moment.
The story is spreading like wildfire. How Walter Williams woke up from the dead in Holmes County.
That's part of what happens, so maybe cause of miracle.
I stood there and watched him put it in a body bag and zipped it up.
The coroner says he checked the pulse around 9 o'clock Wednesday night and pronounced Williams dead at his home in Lexington with no heartbeat.
That was 10:30. And at 2:30, my cousin called me and said, not yet. I said, what you mean, not yet? He said, Dad is still here.
After the coroner helped move Williams to Porter and Son's funeral home, workers were getting ready to embalm him. But that's when he started to move.
He was not dead, long story short.
Byron Porter says it's the first time he's ever seen anything like it. A man inside a body bag kicking to get out.
So he missed it by how much?
I don't know.
A couple minutes, maybe?
No, more than that, maybe. But we definitely were not going to do anything to him.
Once you saw that he was.
Right. That he was not deceived.
Paramedics rushed Williams to the hospital where tonight family members say they're happy he's alive.
I don't know how long he's going to be here, but I know he's back right now. And that's all we want.
Could you imagine that? Man, first of all, if I was that guy in that bag, I'd be kicking as hard as I could too, you know. But if I was the funeral home director and I saw the bag kicking, I don't know how I'd react. But the point here is that he was dead and he came back to life. There's a parallel picture to that spiritually. See, we are born alive, obviously. But are we alive the way God intends? And there's a picture, there's a thought that we need to understand, because it's one thing to be physically alive, it's another thing to be spiritually made alive. If we're living just physically alive, then we're not experiencing or understanding what it means to live spiritually alive. Spiritually alive is to understand a relationship with Christ. Spiritually alive is to understand the power of God working in our lives that we would never, ever experience if we didn't have Christ in our life. Spiritual life is a focus and a purpose and a direction and a power that only we can have in Christ, that living outside of Christ, not knowing Christ, we could never even comprehend or experience in ourselves. So which is more important? We say, well, if I had to choose, I'm just glad I'm alive. Amen. I'm glad I'm alive too. But which is more important? Well, you know where I'm leaning. The spiritual life is more important. Why is the spiritual life more important? Two reasons. One, when you die, you go to heaven because you got Jesus in your heart. Two, you learn to live a new life that God what intends for us to live in Him. In other words, the masterpiece that He made at our birth becomes used in the intended way that He designed us to be used. We become displayed publicly for the very power of God that's working in and through our lives. Point. Like Olin, I didn't know Olin was going to share that testimony this morning. But it's a perfect point. Is that here's the masterpiece work, as all of us are. And God says, now I want to display myself through Olin to this guy. See, we wouldn't experience that if we didn't know Christ. And so which is more important? To live a life experiencing and living with the very person of Jesus in our life and being used of God in a way that reflects Him. That's putting His light, in a sense, on the masterpiece. In a sense, the masterpiece is being reflected or seen more clearly by His light. Who are we created in? We are created in the image of God. So when God's light is in us, or that light shines in a way in our lives or on the masterpiece in a way that makes it more clear to those around them, God is glorified and we're used as that vessel to bring Him glory. I have artwork in my house, but they don't have lights on them. But when I put light next to them, they're much more magnified and the colors are brighter and the depth of the pictures are deeper with the light on it than not with it on. And so when the light of Christ is as clearly evident in our lives, working in our lives, and we're responding faithfully to Him, the workmanship, the creative work that God did in our lives, which is uniquely our own. No, not any of us are created the same way. We're all unique individuals. Every human being that ever has been or will be are unique individuals, one of a kind, that are created for the purpose to live for God, to glorify Him. And in some ways, you may think, well, that sounds like religious propaganda that's old news that I already know. But God says, I've created you for this. And if God has created us for this, then the purpose of life becomes even richer and purer. Let me explain why living or having a spiritual life, not just a physical life, is more important. That man in that video, he died, but he came back alive. But I don't know if he's saved, but he's alive. Prayerfully, he's saved. Maybe if he wasn't, I think I'd think about it now, right? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Praise God. We were dead. Dead how? Spiritually. We were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. What did we see in that passage of Scripture? I want us to understand, if we look closely, we see an oxymoron. We know what an oxymoron is. It's something that contradicts the other. It says this, but it says this, and doesn't fit. Doesn't work together. Well, what's that oxymoron? And here it is in the question. How can we live when we are dead? How can we live when we are dead? Our understanding is I'm real, I'm tangible, I'm breathing, I live. Yet God says, you can't live the way I intended you to live, the way I created you to live, if you're dead spiritually. If we don't know Christ as our Savior, we don't have the opportunity to live the life that God created for us to live. Let's look at the first three verses in this passage. Verse 1, dead in trespasses, yet made alive. He's made us alive. It's like the piece of artwork, all of a sudden, the lamp of the art. You've seen those lamps, haven't you, on artwork? Oh, on the top, mounted to the wall, they shine over. Right, or under, whichever, and it illuminates the picture. So the picture becomes more alive, more vibrant, more depth, more meaningful, more impacting. That's what God does with us. His light, his person, comes and lives in our lives. We know that. Verse 2, walking according to the course of this world, or walked. God says that everybody has walked according to the course of this world, according to the pattern of this world, according to the priorities of this world. God says, I don't want you to do that. And what I find interesting in this is that he used the word past tense to the Christians in Ephesus. He goes, you used to walk that way, but you don't walk that way now. That's God's intent, not to walk that way, but to walk in new life in him. This means that we walk according to his standards, to his standards. We're not to walk according to the standards of the world, because the standards of the world are based upon the standards of the prince of the air of this world. Who's the prince of the air of this world, scripturally? Satan, Lucifer. Lucifer wants to do everything against what God the Father says is right. Everything. And you look at every situation in life, and you will find, if you look closely, TV, movies, lifestyles, whatever the case, you will find that God is flipping over, totally making life and perspective of life opposite of what God the Father intended for us to have. And so people are created in the image of God, yet without Christ, and without knowing it, they're living lives in direct disobedience to the will of God. A lot of non-believers, if you were to say you're living in disobedience, they're going to go with their defensiveness. What are you talking about? What do you mean? People don't know they're living in disobedience to God because they don't know what God's way is, generally. But if we receive Christ as our Savior, we see that God says, you used to walk this way, but I want you to walk this way now. People live under the powerful influence of Satan without Christ in their lives, right? But then we might say this question, but there are a lot of good, moral, upright people in this world. Good, decent, upright people. But then we have to ask another question. According to whose standards? According to our standards. We make the assessment that that person is a great, upright, outstanding citizen based upon our standards. But to live according to God's standards is a whole different ballgame. Because when we live in God's standards, we live the new life that God intends and intended for us to live. Let's look at the phrase, made us alive, in that verse. I want to look at it a little closer, real briefly, in the Greek. The Greek word, it's pseudo-op-oi-a-o. Not that that means a whole lot. But the definition is, and get this, I thought this was so cool, to reanimate conjointly, right? With the word quicken. Some of you have a King James version that says quicken. That word doesn't make sense to us. But what's co-join mean? Co-join. It means to be with together, right? And so the word quicken is some translations for the word, the phrase made us alive, but it means together with. We have been reanimated. We're not an inanimate object like a picture. We're living human beings, but outside of Christ, not knowing him, we are not reanimated, co-joined, united with, together in Christ, given a new life in him. In the 70s, you used to hear the word a lot, born again, born again. It became so well known that people would associate that as, oh, you're one of those radical Christians that talk about the stupidity or the silliness of a thought about being born again. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we are born spiritually. And we are joined together in Christ. And so John 14:6 says what Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We're joined together. We're reanimated. We're born again with Jesus, the life. With Jesus, the life. Now we have a new spiritual focus in life. How in tune is your spiritual focus as a believer? If you're a believer here today, how in tune are you to the spiritual directions of God in your life? How in tune are you to your spiritual relationship with Jesus? How in tune are you with the spiritual purpose that God has for your life? Let's look at Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Because of God's love and mercy, we believers are saved, right? We're not saved based upon the fact that our standards say we're good, upright, moral people. Many people think, I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a good person. I've never done fill in the blank. God says, no, you're only saved by faith and by God's grace. It's only through faith in Christ that we are saved. You've been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. None of us are better than anyone else. And that was because of God's love and mercy. Anyone, you know and I know, can be saved. And there have been people, even in the Bible, that have said, I can't be saved, I'm a terrible person. God doesn't love me, he hates me. That's all a lie from hell. But the Spirit of God says, I love you unconditionally. I want you to receive me into your life. And there's only one sin that God can't forgive, It's the sin of rejecting Jesus as your Savior. So we are his masterpiece, but we're his masterpiece in progress. I want us to jump to that right now. God made us that masterpiece. I mean, think again. I've been learning so much about the heart. The things that I've looked up about electric signals that are passed to the heart to make it work in different ways and all these different functions of the heart and what it does just in that organ in of itself. But if you're to break down just the human body and all of its functions, all of its details, all the intricacy of how it truly is a masterpiece of work. Truly, truly is a masterpiece of work. In Ephesians 2:10 it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared," I love this, "prepared beforehand." What did God prepare for us beforehand? Beforehand? Before creation? Before everything was made, he knew us? What did God prepare for you as his masterpiece? What was it? Good works. Satan wants us to water down. Well, that's goody two shoes, good work type stuff. Not into that. No. The very purpose that God has for our life as we follow him can be very challenging. Doesn't have to be easy. Generally, it's not, because it requires a step of faith, because it requires acting and doing beyond our own capability and relying on God. But God has preordained for you and I a specific purpose and plan of good works that brings him glory, that requires our faith in him, our dependency on him, that we can't do in of ourselves. So reading that verse again, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should," what? "Walk in them." We are his workmanship, made and created by him, every human being, but we are also made and created, what? For him. We are created for him. And I believe that this is the problem with so many Christians, in my opinion. They forget that they were created for him, not just by him. They rest in the fact that they are saved and they have that salvation certificate in their hip pocket. So when they die, they can pull it out and say, "Here it is, I'm going to heaven." But God just didn't create us. He created us for a purpose. For him. For him. People are born alive, but they are dead to the true life God wants them to live. Remember the oxymoron? How can you live and be dead? Well, here. People are born alive. We know that. But they are dead to true life, spiritual understanding, spiritual relationship with God. They are dead to true life God wants them to live. But as believers, we're not dead to that. We're not dead to the life that God wants us to live. We're not dead to understanding and receiving what God has preordained for each of our lives. But we are stubborn. And we have to be willing to yield and say, "God, I want to follow you no matter what the challenge is." Because no matter how great or difficult the challenge may be or how frightening it might be, I have you to rely on to do it through me. And that's what God wants. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." By the way, that's something the world needs to remember. He created male and female, right? He created male and female. We are truly a masterpiece. The one part of creation that God finds, guess what? We are God's masterpiece, and we are the one greatest joy. Hear that again, because you heard the door. God created us, and we are the one greatest joy in him. God created us, and we are the one joy, the greatest joy that he has is you and me. The greatest joy. We are the crown on Christ's head. And he sees you and I as completed masterpieces. The sculptor that looks at the rock or the wood says, I could see me making this out of that. God sees us the same way. God sees us that way. We're the masterpiece. We're part of creation that God finds the greatest joy in. He sees you as he wants us to be, as he sees that we will be in the future. We're the master. We're the masterpiece. That's who we are. And as I said earlier, we are not inanimate art like a masterpiece painting, right? But we are a living masterpiece of God. Every human being is a living masterpiece of God. But it's only when we receive Christ that we become all that God, the sculptor, wants us to be. In Him. We're not yet complete. The masterpiece is presented, but we're not complete. And the only way I can magnify that is by saying, here's the artwork that's completed, that's made, and it's a masterpiece, but it's not completed yet because it's not projected and put out there for people to see like I want it to be seen. And God wants you and I to be to reflect him in our lives, for us to be seen as Christ lives through us for him. We're not spiritually alive without Christ in our lives. The fact is, without Christ, we're spiritually dead. So again, are you spiritually alive or are you spiritually dead? As believers, we're alive, but how much are we living in that spiritual life? That's the question. The man in the video, of course, was dead and came to life again in the morgue. I got to tell you a funny story, just real quick. Oh, shoot, I'm past 12. I'm going to tell you anyways. I'm almost done. I worked at a hospital in Homestead, Florida. And the housekeeper, bless her heart, she was from the Bahamas, sweet, sweet lady named Jane. But she hated going to the morgue to empty the trash. Just hated it. And Joe is this little short Italian guy, real neat guy, just a bulldog of a guy. And he had to go into the slots where the bodies were put to sanitize the stainless steel walls. He knew Jane was coming. He closed the door. And he heard her coming in. The closer she got to the morgue, the louder she sang, because it was going to calm her down. He closed the door and he goes, let me out, I'm not dead yet. And guess what happened to Jane? Praise God she didn't have a heart attack. She was gone. And she weighed about 350 pounds. And she was gone. Down the hall and no sight at all. Poor Jane. I laughed and I asked God to forgive me for laughing because it was funny. I felt bad for her though. And so I thought about that with this guy coming back to life again, how terrifying that might be. But he's been given another chance if he doesn't know God as his Savior. He's been brought back to physical life with an opportunity to say, I know death is real. I know I was dead. And God in his grace made me alive. And if he doesn't know Christ, I pray that he came to know him. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together. Real key word, conjoined with, together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. We were dead spiritually, but then he made us alive. We're alive physically when we're born, but when we receive him, he has made us alive. And if we're alive in Christ, then we should begin to realize that we are created with a purpose. I was talking to a guy this week that he was saying, yeah, my dad retired, but he and built a new house. And he goes, but he doesn't know what to do now. He goes, so many people retire, they don't know what to do. This guy's not a Christian I'm talking to. He goes, what do you do after you retire? You've already raised your family and you've built a nice house and you've got what you want. What do? In his mind, we just play. Play out the rest of your life. Sounds kind of fun. No purpose. But God foreordained purpose for you and I. that we might live out that purpose, that to our last breath on earth, we know that we are, if we're following Christ, being used of God for his purpose. And that's rich. That's valuable. To live a life doing the good works that God wants us to do. Doing things that God ordained specifically for you and I. Things he prepared for us. Not living our lives in the way of the world. Doing what we want to do, although that sounds very compelling, doesn't it? Because to do what we want to do and to be challenged not to do what we want to do, Satan whispers in our head and says, you're going to be robbed of the fullness and joy of life. God says, if you follow me, you'll be full of life. Full of purpose, full of joy in him. Life will have meaning. You won't get to the end of it and go, was that it? What was the purpose of all that? We'll get to the end of life and say, that is my purpose, and my purpose continues in Christ forever. Passing from life to life, not from death to death, as God has told us in his word. We're to do what God wants us to do, but to do what God wants us to do is contrary to the way of the world. To live our lives in and through Christ is a rich blessing. God made each of us as a display of his goodness and grace. If we do the good works he prepared for us in advance, we will be that display. The two words will be is a verb of action. We will be that display. People will know that we are his by our good works. As Christians, I would like to see every one of those bags taken out. It's easy to take it and put it in your car. It's another challenge to stop and give it to someone. And to do it with the right heart. Out of love for God. People will know our good works and it will glorify him. You say, well, how's that? Matthew 5:16, we'll close with this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. May the standard of God be seen in our lives, that others that God is working on would see that and be compelled to seek God, to receive him in their lives. Just as an artist in a museum puts an appropriate light on, in an appropriate location to shine on a beautiful masterpiece, God has planned out good works for us to do. To make his light shine on his beautiful masterpiece. That's you and me. But we're masterpieces in progress. So let's be a beautiful display of God's goodness and grace this week. How do we do that? Let his light shine through you as we walk in that walk, sensitive to that spiritual life that we have in Christ. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I know that we're a little over time. And I know that minds can wander when the preacher is long. But I ask, Father, and I depend upon you, dear Holy Spirit, for each one of us to walk away here today, not just with understanding, but with the blessing of knowing that we are alive spiritually, that we have been given grace and mercy because of your love for us, and that you are offering us life that's new and different than the way of the world, life that has purpose, that reaches not only into the depths of our heart and our being, but that reaches into eternity and that will never end. We will not be like the man, if you didn't know Christ, that died and passed from death to death, separated from you. But we are your children, who are alive in you because of you, who will pass from life to life eternally. And so, Father, I pray you help us to hunger and thirst after you, but help us to rejoice in you and to know that the fullness of you in our lives is the full joy and purpose that you have given us. Honor that. Somehow embed that. Somehow move our hearts to embrace that with greater understanding, with greater reception with greater resolve. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.